This time of year always makes me rethink what's in my closet. I'm trying to keep fewer things, but better ones. Pieces that are well-made and easy to wear all the time. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. The fabrics feel elevated, the fits are thoughtful, and the pricing actually makes sense. Quince makes high-quality, everyday essentials using premium materials like 100% European linen and their insanely soft, flow-knit activewear fabric. Their men's linen pants and shirts are lightweight, breathable, and comfortable. Basically, the perfect layer for spring. The pants strike the right balance between laid back and refined, so you look put together without trying too hard. And their flow knit activewear, moisture wicking, anti-odor, and soft enough you'll actually want to wear it all day. The best part is that their pieces are 50 to 60% less than similar brands. How, you ask? Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. Everything is designed to at least make getting dressed easy. Guys, you heard me talk about in the winter how I loved Quince for when I was going home to the cold weather up north. Well, now the Flowknit activewear is perfect for this Florida spring and the upcoming summer. I'm super happy with it. And like I've always said, the Quince website is super fun to shop. You got to go out and check out Quince. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. Go to Quince. quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/crypto101. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another Crypto Rundown. Happy Friday to everybody. The crypto markets are open on Good Friday. The regular markets are closed, but we are here with you with a full squad. We've got Brian, we've got Joe, so you know what that means. We are diving into the momentum moneymakers. A little meme talk, a little AI crypto talk. AI, the crypto plays have been the talk of the town. As we all know in the momentum moneymakers, we are finding the plays, no matter where the market's going, up, down, or sideways, that are performing the best. Brian and Joe are very, very early to Tao and the other ecosystem of BitTensor. We are going to have a segment later in the show breaking it down and showing you the outperformance of Tao. I know we've talked about it on the pod a little bit over the last couple of weeks with the outperformance. We're going to dive into it later in the show today. Plus a ton of other stuff to cover. There was a huge purchase. Franklin Templeton applying Coin Fund. We've got 401ks. Are they finally coming to crypto? Some stablecoin regulation. The Citadel continues to take over the world, and we'll have some fun topics at the end as well to always kick around. Guys, it's Friday. For those celebrating, happy Good Friday. Enjoy your Easter weekend. I was on my walk before the show, fellas, and I was walking around as I live on the water in Florida, so there's a ton of families in town. There was a little Easter egg hunt going on, and so I was walking on my walkway by the water, and I was like looking at these happy kids ready for the Easter eggs, and I saw the dad. I was like, Dad, what's in the eggs? Is it candy? What, do they got a little money? He's like, yeah, it's like a little bit of money for the kids this year. So I just started grabbing them. I was like, I gotta buy the dip. I'm out of money. I just started grabbing these eggs. Obviously, fun time for the kids there. I did not grab any eggs, but I definitely thought about it because I needed a couple more bucks to keep buying this dip. But welcome to the show. Guys, if you're having fun, give us a thumbs up. It helps us grow the show. If you're new, bottom right, hit the sub button. We're going to have a little active chat today. I can feel it in the air. Joe, welcome back. You haven't seen you in a while. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's great to be back. I miss you guys. Miss the show.
The Rundown. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back, man. I love the resourcefulness that you have as the super producer looking for dry powder. You know, you're not ruining anybody's Easter there. If I was putting money in Easter eggs for my kids and somebody came up and started talking to me about it, I'd tell them there's money in it. I'd only expect.
I told them as they were yelling, kicking, and screaming at me, I was like, listen, I'm going to give it back double. I'm going to give it back double. It was only a couple bucks. I was like, let me turn that dollar into four, you know?
Give me a few months. I got some insider plays. Let me just, we'll exchange contacts and you guys will be very happy.
Absolutely. Before we dive in, when it's an active chat, especially on a fun Friday, we want to know who's here. We want to know where you're from. In the chat, let us know if it's your first time. Let us know where you're watching in from. We've got California. We've got Brian out in Colorado. I'm in Florida. Where's everybody from? It's Philip's first time here. Welcome, Philip. Vlad, all the way from Russia. Unbelievable. Beth is calling in from Texas. Guys, we're really just pointing all over the globe. Those are my favorites when we get those international ones. All the way from Russia. From Russia with love. Hello, Vlad.
I'm like, secretly, we're getting so many people from across the world. I'm starting to think people might be trolling us.
I worry it's my friends. I do. I think it's my.
We're like, we're getting people from like Vietnam and Australia. I mean, I think we could go that global, but we're a global show right now. It's amazing.
I know it is. It's super fun. We got to get one of those like maps and start putting pins all over the globe. Right. Super fun. Let's as I said at the top of the show, listen, hey, crypto is open. Crypto's open. The regular markets are closed. We'll get back to the chat in a little bit. Good morning, Danny from Maple Valley, Washington. First time here. Love that. Tom from Massachusetts. Peter from Mission Valley, San Diego. We love Mission Valley, San Diego. Some of the best Mexican food you'll ever have in your life out in Mission Valley, San Diego. We love it out there. But the regular markets are closed. I want to know, how can I trade Apple? How can I trade Nvidia? You can't. You got to go to the crypto markets. That's where the action is. Let's pull up the show favorite when you guys are on CoinMarketCap. Let's just see what's going on today. Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy today in the fog of war. Everything's pretty flat. A couple bumps there, too, for Hyperliquid and Outperformer. Cardano, a little bit of bounce. Not a lot of red on Good Friday. Good to see. The 7-day, even I think the 7-day is more telling than anything. Ethereum with a little 3% pop on the 7-day. That's, you like to see that. What's that? It's probably anything else big? No. Oh, wow. Meme core, fellas, you got a take on that? What's going on there?
Joe's been on Meme Core more times than I even know. I've had him explain it to me a handful of times, and
manipulators. This is not thing real. It's only gone up and to the right, and you can't do that without Asian whale wallets. And that's all it is, Brian.
Asian whale wallets.
Specifically, it's finance related. It's
that's the explanation I get.
It's traded only in Asian markets, and that's why it's up and to the right. we've caught this like when it was like sub $1 billion market cap, and it's shot up. It's just never gone down.
I should have jumped on that call. I when we were breaking out the call list, like we had some hot ones. I still remember, and Joe's like, I really like this meme core, and I go, dude, I see that trending on CoinMarketCap. I've tried to figure out exactly what it is. And I have a struggling time. And then he was basically said the exact same explanation. He's like, it's Asian whale manipulation of a coin.
That was exactly the explanation. I didn't explain anything else. I was like, product, who cares? It's just a manipulated whale controlled by the Asian markets. And that's not the reason you need.
But it's up and to the right. It's certainly surprising me. Joe, why are we seeing a pump? When you say the whale manipulation, is there anything more in depth to it? Honestly.
No, it's an actual wallet, right? That it's like every time you create a wallet, it spits you out a profile. If you create a profile, it spits you out a meme coin. Nothing different than a pump fund. It's just the vibe on the street was, hey, this is going to be like hardcore, like just basically pumped. And that was all the alpha that we needed during that time. And it just never died. I don't know what's going on with it, but there's volume. It's the top, you know, 5 meme coin out there. I wouldn't touch it, obviously, but it's been close to a year, right? Yeah. More than a year now.
Yeah, it's like July 25. That's crazy market cap. 3.4, almost $3.5 billion market cap.
If Joe only pushed us to just move all of our dry powder and funds into Meme Core and gave us all financial advice that we do not give, but if he just would have broke that rule just once, we would have all been sitting a little pretty. It's I'm personally probably not a buyer here, but it's I'm rooting for it.
Did you ever trade it, Joe? Did you trade this?
Yeah, I traded. I got out at the with PancakeSwap, and then I'm out completely. But yeah, it's. I mean, nothing lasts like this. This is true manipulation.
No, for sure. Trump has nothing. Sticking out on the charts, especially at number 27. Like that's pretty wild. All the more reason. A little teaser later in the show when we get down to the Momentum Moneymaker segment. That's why you want to be in this community, getting daily access to Brian and Joe. And as always, when they're on the show, we got a $1 trial. So if anybody's interested in just seeing what's behind the curtain of being more involved, getting access to Brian and Joe's private community, check the description below. $1 trial link for everybody. But let's, I guess, overall macro, we've beaten that to death, really, right? There's the fog of war. There was a, announcement, a press briefing to the country from the Oval Office this week. Didn't really give any clarity. Honestly, I thought what was really interesting is, especially with the three-day weekend, is the market shook it off overall. It was kind of a down open yesterday, Thursday, and it rallied back into the close and actually closed basically flat to even a smidge of green, which going into a three-day weekend, again, traditional markets closed on Good Friday, no trading till Monday. I was pretty surprised at that, honestly. But I think that shows you, it's like, hey, yes, we're in the fog of war. Yes, things, again, I always say on the show, nobody has a crystal ball. If anybody guarantees you what's going to happen, they're lying to you. So yes, there's always downside risk. But I think what we've learned with this, very unique administration is the market does not want to be caught off sides. The professionals last year during the tariff drawdown were caught off sides. Retail bought the dip like crazy. And if you listen to the show, you'll remember Brendan and I were buying like TQQ leaps just into the dip. And it was the best trade of the year that each of us made. And you could have got that for free here on the Crypto 101 podcast. But it's you don't want to be caught off sides. And I feel like now, there's a lot of explaining to do for the large hedge funds last year that didn't perform, because they sold into this tariff thing, got caught off sides, and I don't think they're going to be caught again. Fear greed index on this Good Friday sitting at 29. We're in fear. Boy, it feels like we've just been living in fear. We got a little bit of neutral there in mid-March. That was a fun one. I think Brian and I, we were on as soon as we peeked our head out of the extreme fear, which was great. But any macro take? Joe, we haven't had you on for a while, so we'd love to pick your brain from a macro perspective before we dive into the crypto specific news.
Yeah, on the near term, we broke a 6 to 7 month downtrend. I'm not sure if you guys know, we had down months every single month. March was the first green month. We closed in the green and it shows there, last 7 days we've been moving well. So things are heading up. Crypto overall has increased trading volume. I think a 19% increase in March in all of crypto. So about $8 billion in volume a day. So volume on chain activity is picking up, and that's what we'd like to see. I guess people are, when you say there's down and then people start to get bored, right? Like we're kind of entering that phase. It's like, kind of bored. Mm-hmm. We've been down a while. Let's just start trading. And that's kind of like the sentiment, and things are, and it's crazy to say, but amongst all the negativity, 70,000 Bitcoin is not too shabby.
No, actually, I need to make a retraction. I meant to do that at the top of the show, but I was so wrapped up in my Easter joke that I forgot. So a little retraction from when Brian and I were earlier in the week, or it was Brendan. I can't remember. I'm sorry, Brian. I can't remember. Too many things doing this week. But I said it was the six months in a row of Bitcoin being down tied the record, and that was before we closed March, and we just inched for a green month in March. So it isn't six. If you listen to that episode, we did not hit six by a hair. So it is 5 months in a row. So we didn't reach that six mark. So that's a retraction from me. Hand up. That's what we do, Brian, right? We keep it honest. Any final thoughts, Brian, on the macro before we jump in?
That retraction absolutely rocks my mind a little bit, because when we were doing the show, I read about the 5 months and I thought I read something wrong. So now knowing that was on you makes me feel very happy. I should have jumped in. Let's jump a little bit into this market here. It's you could probably cut out the segments that we've had over the past couple of weeks and just put them in when we talk about the overall macros. There's geopolitical issues out there. There's Clarity Act issues out there. But the market doesn't seem to be getting hit as hard. We even had Trump, I think this is after the rundown this week, we had Trump that had a special podium announcement. I think this is Wednesday night, and the market was thinking that maybe we were going to pull out of Iran. We were going to maybe get an announcement that we were going to get deeper into it. There was a little bit of both just being spoken, and the market obviously retraced, I think, down to $64,000-$65,000, but then recovered, and we're back into the same range that we feel like we've been in for weeks now. And I think we're going to stay here for a little bit longer. There are some interesting issues being, tossed around. I'm seeing more like chatter about the Clarity Act and some possibilities that gets done sooner rather than later. But now we're going into a holiday break. So I think we're going to move sideways. I think by the time next rundown, we're going to probably be within 1% or 2% of exactly where we are right now.
Yeah, a little volatility or no volatility over holiday weekends. Always welcome. Go touch some grass. Get outside, unless you're Brian, because he's a little cold. So make sure you bundle up there, bud. one more quick check-in on the chat. Danny wants to know what the best AI cryptos are. Danny, we're going to cover that in the back end of the show. And believe it or not, our friend Giaud, I hope I'm saying that right, he says he's calling in or watching in from the Isle of Man. And for those who don't know, the Isle of Man is a self-governing British dependency located in the Irish Sea between Great Britain and Ireland. Guys, we are literally covering the globe today, and it makes me so happy as the producer
of the show. I need proof. I need a picture of the Isle.
I know. We need, Joe, we need a picture of you. I don't know how we're going to do that of some sort. Send it to our ex at Crypto101Pod. Send us a pic, please, of you outside of at home in the Isle of Man. We'd love to see it. All right. Franklin Templeton. All right. Let's get into the news here. Actually, some really, really big news. Franklin Templeton launched Franklin Crypto, a new dedicated institutional grade crypto investment unit. And basically this comes from their purchase of CoinFund. And for those longtime listeners of the Crypto 101 podcast and the Crypto Community Summit, the Hedge Fund Summit, Chris Perkins and Seth Gins have been on multiple times. And so it's super cool. Excited to see them integrated into Franklin Templeton. I believe Chris Perkins is a veteran of the United States of America. He had a long service history. I know we've had him on the show. A really great guy. So I'm going to look to try to find to get him back. But basically just expanding their existing suite of actively managed crypto and blockchain VC investment, Franklin and Templeton will acquire 250 digital assets led by Perkins, Gins, formerly CoinFund, as a part of the agreement. All CoinFund liquid cryptocurrency strategies will be acquired to broaden our crypto investment platform. So I saw somebody pull up this tweet.
If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
Really kind of breaks down what they're trying to do. So I want to open it up to you guys. We could just read off the tweet, or do you guys have a take on it? Brian, I'll pass it to you first. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty bullish news. This is the type of thing that we say all the time, that there's still these infrastructure plays in this institutional investment trying to make crypto genuinely easier to use and stronger infrastructure. And as retail seems to be fleeting away, we have Franklin Templeton and CoinFund in this major, acquisition, I should say. It says that, I was reading a little bit about this, it said part of the deal was with the Benji tokens, which is Franklin Templeton's tokenized shares. So this is super interesting. This is kind of one of the first of its kind that we're seeing these major, acquisitions and in major movements, especially when the market's just moving sideways. This is in a bull market. News like this probably sends the price soaring even harder. But, times like this is a huge, huge, huge deal in institutional finance and traditional finance.
It is. And my favorite thing as the show, the YouTube, the podcast, it's truly my baby, along with, having you guys and Bryce and Brendan and everybody being a part of it. But I really own the whole process of getting everybody on, and to see Franklin Templeton, who we just had on in the Headphone Summit in the podcast, and they came on specifically to talk about Benji, to then go and partner with Chris Perkins and CoinFund, who we've had on numerous times. It's like, it's so cool to see that start to cross-pollinate when we've really had an awesome lineup for our listeners and community members to kind of follow that journey individually from Franklin Templeton being one of the first big financial, you know, Wall Street agencies to get involved in crypto, and then obviously CoinFund being very, very crypto specific. But they've all told their story with us and our team, and now they're converging, and it's so cool to see that. Joe, any thoughts on this? Because I think it's really worth leading the top of the show here.
Yeah, this is great news for me because I didn't hear about this particularly. But just inside that post where it says using Benji tokens for deal consideration, that's awesome. An early step toward an on-chain M&A, because there's always like ambiguity around M&A, right? But on-chain M&A, I'm very interested in that because I have a lot of investments into pre-IPO companies like SpaceX and Anthropic, and I would love to see how that kind of moves and wiggles through funds. So this is great for me. I'm gonna scratch my itch after this and look into it.
Yeah, it's super. I guess I just think it's super cool. But yeah, go research, and then obviously, just go search Crypto 101 podcast, Chris Perkins, Crypto 101 podcast, CoinFund, Crypto 101 podcast, Franklin Templeton, and you'll find some great podcasts around that, so you can kind of go back and learn and something that we'll cover, and obviously we want to get those guys back on because it's super cool news. Something we've talked about on the show, haven't really had much of an update, is, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, cryptos in 401ks. The IRAs are going. We've talked about the IRAs. We've even had people from Bitcoin IRA. I know Public, I believe, is launching one. They want to come on the podcast. Maybe we'll get them. And then I saw a headline. I saw a clip from Fox Business. So let's take a listen and then we can toss it around.
Head of Retirement Solutions and head of LifePath, Nick Nafusi, joins me now. Looks to me, having a casual glance at this, that we're in for a vast expansion of the stuff that I can put in my 401k. Is that right?
Yes, thank you for having me. So first of all, what the rule is trying to do, and this is a huge step forward for the 401k market, what the rule is trying to do is establish a process. Not necessarily say which asset classes are good or bad. So they created a six-point process. And then what we want to be able to do is focus more on the rules and less on mitigation risk. So you could invest in things, but you've got to follow this process.
But it's not going to happen for some time, or?
There's a 60-day window now where they...
Is it going to spread to regular people, or is this for people with a ton of money?
So think of regular people. About 25% of the population are in defined benefit plans. About 80% are in defined contribution plans. Right now, defined benefit plans currently have access to all of these assets. What we're trying to do is level the playing field. So many Americans are relying on 401k plans. Those DB plans, teachers, firefighters, police officers, a lot of state workers have access to those defined benefit plans. Most of us in the private sector have defined contribution. And what the rulemaking is meant to do is to level the playing field and be able to offer these asset classes to both as long as you have a sound process.
I don't know. Well, first off, sorry for that bad audio. That was as loud as I could get it. I'll boost it in post for the podcast listeners. But I don't know. It sounds like there's a rule out there. It's going to a 60-day window for it to be discussed and kicked around. I guess that's good, a new 60-day window. I thought this stuff, I mean, we talked about this months ago, like definitely at the start of this administration, was something that they wanted to get done and haven't really seen the legwork on it. So did you guys pick up anything more than like, okay, there's a window now where maybe it'll get done? I guess it's kind of a nothing.
Yeah, I listened to that before we went live here. So yeah, there's a 60-day comment period, then the rules, and then each employer decides if they want to add it or not. So it could take months or I guess even years if your employer actually would add this to your actual 401k plan. I do believe that a lot of employers will add it to the plan, but some things that stuck out to me that they said 80% of America save in their 401ks, so it's a really common way to save, and adding something like Bitcoin, Ethereum to show up in options makes crypto more normalized for regular people, and it could pull in that next wave of investors. And then I think the numbers, I just looked it up, they said there's 10 to 14 trillion in the United Retirement Savings Fund. So even if we got like 1 or 2% of that would flow into Bitcoin or Ethereum, that would be hundreds of billions that would be a steady new demand. So I don't want to undersell how important and impactful this 401k addition would be. But again, we're also, 60 days away common period. Then we got employers that need to add it. And then it could take, you know, multiple months to actually show up in your account to do it. So I don't think it's going to just flip the switch to us to new all-time highs overnight. But this is just another very bullish thing that normalizes crypto in everyday use cases. So hopefully 3-4 years from now, we'll look back on this and be like, oh yeah, that was kind of huge.
Yeah, 100%. People don't really trade in a 401k. They just kind of set and forget it. And it's hard to break habit. This is net positive. When it inflows, it's just going to stay there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with everything you guys said. I was more kind of just focused on like, when's this going to get done? Brian and I, we kicked around kind of the administration of, you know, teeing up all this crypto positive stuff. The price action hasn't come. The regulation is in process, I guess, but we want to see some movement, which is our next topic. So movement in the regulation space. No, it's not the Clarity Act, folks. No update on that quite yet. It's the Genius Act. So it looks like the Genius Act, the U.S. Department of Treasury issued a notice basically rolling out a 60-day period for submit comments after publication for federal registrants. Basically, the unregulated stablecoin era is coming to an end here in the United States, which makes sense because I think that's kind of an appetizer, if you will, for the Clarity Act, kind of help setting those guardrails. And then you see like the Benji tokens or Coinbase with their stablecoin and figuring out how, you know, all these big banks want to leverage these stablecoin rails. This is kind of the first shoe to drop of something that looks like it might be going into effect. If there's, you know, no crazy comments or things, if it gets put out here, the Genius Act takes full effect within 120 days. So does this anything intriguing from this? I think it's always good to note when the regulation is going into place, but it kind of feels like compared to the Clarity Act, not as impactful.
Yeah, I when I look at this, I'm just thinking this is great for my kids because, you know, congrats to Satoshi, you know, not really Bitcoin being the replacement for money, but at least we're moving into the 21st century with a traditional fiat, which has just been like stuck behind a wall. So I love seeing this.
Yeah, it turns stable coins into trusted dollar rails. It's a pretty big win for crypto infrastructure and overall mainstream adoption. And it kind of gets bundled in the news whenever we're in a bear market. But this is just, you know, the long-term vision for crypto and the blockchain coming to fruition. So, but yeah, the bigger news is the Clarity Act. We want to get that done and that be favorable as possible for the crypto side, hopefully.
All makes sense and something that we'll continue to track. For our next segment, it's called, we're going to play a new game for this new segment. It's called Who Wants to Be a Bank? And everybody wants to be a bank, apparently, because Brian Armstrong tweeting out they've received their conditional OCC charter approval, moving it towards that bank status. Although he says, we're not becoming a bank. It's a trust company. We're bringing infrastructure of crypto under federal regulatory oversight. And then the people who literally, this is my theory, literally own and run the world is the Citadel. That's like, you want to talk about some of the most powerful people in the world. I think it's Ken Griffith. And he does a good job of like basically staying out. Doesn't speak on camera much, but this guy makes money in any market being a clearinghouse, whether the market goes up, whether it goes down, whether it stays sideways. This guy, you know, as I jokingly say, runs the world, but half jokingly, it looks like the Citadel, their crypto exchange is applying to be a national trust bank as well. They want to provide custody. They want to provide asset management and trading services, just like they do for any and every financial market, and make billions, if not trillions, of dollars. So, again, just covering the news. To me, guys, this isn't like bullish news by any means. It's just, this is par for the course now. This is what these major asset managers on Wall Street are doing. They're getting involved because I think it could be bullish in the sense like our industry is not going away. Like, I get a lot of hate comments right now. Somebody said, yeah, the idiot with the Bitcoin Mona Lisa Bitcoin picture thinks Bitcoin's going to come back. And I read that and then I turned around. I was like, oh crap, he's talking about me. And I keep getting all these hate comments like crypto's trash, crypto's garbage, crypto's going away. And I just like, I don't know. the Citadel wants to be in the crypto game now. So I don't know if it's going away. What do you guys think?
Absolutely not going away. I just got a notice yesterday, a SoFi fully integrated crypto for the first time, and all my banks in SoFi. So just the access is becoming easier, and big banks, not even big banks in Citadel, but like, I wouldn't call SoFi small by any means, but they have a lot of clients and they're finally giving exposure to the customer. So as much as we talk about adoption, like, when have you seen a crypto tab on Bank of America? That hasn't come yet, right? But it's slow. It's first time it popped up in my bank. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I could straight buy crypto from my bank, SoFi now. So just easier access is just going to be great overall for the crypto space.
Nothing to add on the Citadel stuff, but I just have to jump in again about the Bitcoin Mona Lisa thing. You know, you sent me that comment, so just want everyone to know, TiVo reads the comments, so we would love to have more comments because you could probably get to all of us a little bit. We like the great ones, but it didn't talk about, man, how he praised that Bitcoin Mona Lisa every morning too.
Man, I'm telling you, dude, it's tough. All the comments, they come for me, but I'm also, it makes sense. I'm the loudest, but here it is. I mean, I'm not lying. our guy Don DeChulia with Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete as his profile picture. Ultimate troll.
Appreciate the comment.
They say, like, obviously if you get to the, I was like, it's kind of like the Bane saying. It's like, I was born in the darkness. He merely trained in it. It's like, I come from the absolute gutter of the internet via, you know, Barstool Sports and Twitter and X. Like, I can handle it. I've literally heard it all. But, yeah, we love some positive comments, too. So if anybody in the chat is enjoying the show, maybe give me a positive comment. You know, it's Good Friday. Let's show a little love, you know. But, yeah, I love the comments. Anybody that wants to jump in, it's usually me replying. So would love, and I love good takes. Like, hey, if you disagree with us, great. And if you're being funny like this, I do like that. So the more comments, the merrier. The last thing I want to, sorry, I got to bring the call back here. The last thing I want to talk about is not crypto related before we go to the momentum moneymakers, but I do think this is something that we're just going to cover on this show because I do think it's going to affect all markets. Apparently, Elon Musk, SpaceX, confidentially files for an IPO, confidentially, Bloomberg reports. And then my question was, hey, serious question, how is this confidential? Because it was all over the internet. And it started off at a $1.5 trillion raise or valuation, and then it ended up being, at the end of the week here, I saw it ended up being $2 trillion IPO. Super, super exciting for, I guess, what will be the biggest IPO in history is my guess that this will be. And I think it's interesting to watch because what will be, I like being kind of a financial journalist in a way. I see so many things I want to look for. Number one, how will this affect the liquidity of the market? Will this trade well? Like, these companies, if this goes in IPOs at this valuation, it's already immediately like a top 10 biggest company in the world. So it's like, okay, you're not buying Google at a dollar anymore. You know what I mean? And riding it for 20 years. These companies have stayed private so much longer than they traditionally have because the private, you know, credit and the private funding industry is so big now. So, okay, is it a dump on retail? Like, how is this thing going to trade? I have no idea. Going to be fascinated to watch. And then will it affect liquidity of the markets? Are people going to start selling? You know, who knows? I don't know if this is true, but there could be like a liquidity suck for people to want to go buy this. Are they going to sell Nvidia? Are they going to sell Microsoft? Are they going to sell Meta to go buy SpaceX? It will be interesting to watch. And then kind of the Tesla versus SpaceX IPO, I think, is a really interesting thing to watch. Are people going to cash out their Tesla to jump in on SpaceX? Or is this a, you know, is vice versa? Is the robots a better play than SpaceX? I have no idea, but I'll be here to cover it. Anything exciting about this for you guys, or anything specifically you want to watch that, you know, again, it doesn't tie directly to the crypto market, but I do think there's a liquidity thing to watch here.
I mean, Joe mentioned a moment ago, he has like futures on SpaceX. I mean, we have an insider here, so let's just give him the floor.
It's all thanks to crypto. I was doing pre-IPO crypto stocks. If you recall, we did that with, like, you know, Gemini, Circle, Bullish, and that was all right through SoFi. And through SoFi, I was able to get Fundrise's newest tech innovation fund, which was, I'm not sure if you guys saw this, if you want to put up VCH, the ticker, it acted like a meme coin. It came out like $18, $19. It went up to like $400. And it's because it gave the average person access to SpaceX stocks, because that fund had, you know, large shares of SpaceX stock. So through crypto as a proxy, I was able to get in on that bananas meme coin trade. Well, not meme coin trade. It acted like a meme coin. So definitely the implications over for the macro market is, you know, it's definitely big. Like you mentioned, TiVo, it's going to be a big indicator of what's going to happen for, because if they're the first ones out the gate before Anthropic and before OpenAI, then kind of level sets expectations. It's crazy valuation right now, like 100 times forward revenue, which is like, what? Like, so we'll see what, it seems like the appetite in Silicon Valley, at least, is that everything's justified. They're like, yeah, OpenAI at 10 trillion. Yeah, we expect that in like the near term, like 5 years. So people are, I wouldn't say delusional stage, but some would think, most people probably think I'm delusional, but most people here in Silicon Valley is like, yeah, it's comes out at a trillion, but you can 5x your money in 10 years, because that's what the demand's going to be. That's the disruption. So nothing really crypto related, but just, you know, talking to SpaceX.
I love it. It's good for you, man. That's a great trade, and all the more reason to listen to the show. I remember you were talking about SoFi. I got a little bit of, I forget which one it was, I got Robinhood, got me some early shares on something that I flipped pretty well. So yeah, there's a, it's cool that they're opening up, you know, some of this stuff to retail, but you definitely got to stay educated, because that shit is pretty volatile. When I think of the SpaceX IPO, I truly, one thing comes to mind that I saw on the internet this week that became an instant meme. It's like the day SpaceX IPOs, this is going to be retail all over the trading map.
Love space. Why do you love being a part of history?
We're going back to the freaking moon. That's why.
That's going to be everybody that buys the SpaceX IPO. That's exactly what they're going
to
say.
The moon. I looked for a meme coin around that video. Didn't find anything that was hot.
As you should. As you should. As you should. And that is why people want to be in the Momentum Money Makers community, because that's the stuff that Brian and Joe find. They find these viral trends, viral memes. They do the research. They then plug it into their system, try to look at liquidity, look at market cap. And that's what they put out as first alerts to their community. And so if you're interested in that, as we begin the Momentum Money Makers segment, check below. There's always a $1 trial when Brian or Joe are on. So go check out. Click that link if you want to get into those first alerts. Let's check the chat. We got a ton of thumbs up coming in. Cooper says, we got you, T. There's always a hater out there. I love that. What else we got? Deb, love you, TiVo. Love from Santa Barbara. Love you all the way back to Santa Barbara, Dev. That's for later. Don't know what that means. I was born in the darkness. You merely played in it. Love it, man. We're having a lot of fun in the chat today. Great, great live. Having so much fun. Thank you guys so much for being here. You know, one more call. Give it a thumbs up. Give us a like. Bottom right. Hit the subscribe button if you're new. Guys, Tao. Let's talk about the Tao news. So this is because we have talked and covered Tao on the program. The last thing we did was we talked about the outperformance, so we're going to dive into that a little bit. And this is the segment Dan was waiting for earlier. It's like, hey, what are the best performing AI cryptos? And we can kind of talk about a couple if we think we want to. But the number one that our team has been talking about inside the community and on the podcast has been Tao. We've written newsletters about it. We've talked about VIP calls about it. The Momentum Money Makers have talked about it. They've given it out, and they've worked in some subnets as well. So there's some news around it. Then we'll go into the price action, fellas. So it looks like Grayscale submitted an S-1 for the BitTensor Tao, the Tao Trust. So I'll pull up that second tweet that you guys put, and then I don't know who wants to lead the segment here, but let's break it down what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I can mention kind of what's going on with Grayscale. So they filed an amended S-1 for the BitTensor project. Which is really interesting, because it's going to give more institutional interest to Tao. And Tao is a large decentralized AI, and they have a bunch of subnets as well, which are essentially specialized networks within BitTensor. And Joe made an excellent call within our community. What was it, just a couple of weeks ago, Joe? when it was, you know, well under $300. And then it felt like the entire timeline was filled with Tau talk and Tau subnets, and for good reason. It's a super interesting project. It's modeled after Bitcoin's tokenomics. But this essentially, this announcement with Grayscale is it filed this S1 for the BitTensor product. And it's not a final approval or anything along those lines, but it's getting closer to be packaged in a way that traditional investors can get exposure to it. And what we've seen from some other Grayscale products in the past is that, you know, millions to billions of dollars could flow into this for people that are interested. But Joe, I'll hand it off to you because I know you really like Tau and you gave a great call to the community.
Well, we did. We did Tau together, and we actually talked the subnets. I'm not sure if you guys talked about that in the last rundown where we, you know, taught people. You have a tutorial, right? The Crucible Ball, is it up yet on Crypto 101?
No, I got to get that over to TiVo. I was actually going to mention it to him on this call, but if you want some fire tutorials, hopefully we get a few new ones out, a few new ones out there, and specifically talking a little bit about subnets.
Yeah. So subnets is where all the action is pretty much, and there's I think like 130, 140 of them, and Brian's finding some that's like launched but hasn't even listed yet. I was like, Brian, how do we buy those? He's finding those. Small alpha for you guys, Freya. Don't buy it, but you know, we don't know if it's live yet, but that's kind of where the action is. One of the biggest spotlights was, you know, Jensen Huang, CEO of NVIDIA, making a comment on one of the Tau subnets, specifically Templar. You could buy that. I think it's up from when we called it, but that we're going like an inch deeper because people are interested in the Tau ecosystem. And if you guys want to know more, I'm not sure if that's it. Oh, it is. Subnet 3, yeah. What's it called? Nuet ID? There's so much different lingo in this side of the world that our community members are asking about it, and we're doing a deep dive on it, and we're just uncovering more and more about, you know, the practicality of it and the use cases of it. And Templar is the one that supported like a $7 billion line of code large language model. So that's why it went up because Shamoff mentioned it in the All In podcast. So yeah, we're just finding some winners. Tau overall is a winner, but there could potentially be more winners within the Tau ecosystem.
Yeah, these subnets.
No, let's just be careful to say like, hey, these subnets, they're, you know, the market cap, it's a low, you know, lower market cap is what you guys play in. So we just want to make sure for all the listeners out there, nothing we say is personal financial advice. You got to be really careful, do your own research. As you can see here, I just wanted to pull up and say, hey, Subnet 3 has been live since July of 25, went down to the absolute basement. And then you can see what happens from, you know, 310 to 325, 15 days. There's some momentum, probably some people talking about it in the higher ups. And then you get that final blow off top for that clip that we did play on the show a couple weeks ago. So, you know, you got to do your research, but all the more reason to add your research, the Momentum Moneymakers community. Sorry, Brian, continue.
No, that was a perfect segue for what I was kind of going to say. I was going to say these subnets are, they're not meme coins. They're real projects, and they're focused on AI and utilizing the Tau tokens, and in addition to that, BitTensor network. As BitTensor grows, the thesis is these subnets will hopefully, or some of these subnets will outperform Tau's price. But a good way to, you know, I don't want to give financial advice on here, and I'm not sure if the Tau price is going to go up or down from where it is right now. We've seen a nice surge, but personally, I do have holdings of Tau, and I continuously dollar cost average in. There's a way that you can actually stake Tau into a subnet called Root, but with that all being said, is that these subnets are like microcaps of the Tau ecosystem. You know, they can be extremely volatile, or, you know, some of these are even difficult to fully understand what they're doing. I mean, for Templar, is essentially it's a decentralized AI model training, and that's what it does. Gets mentioned on the All In podcast, and it goes through the roof. But these are really interesting projects, too. You know, if you believe in the future of AI, and you believe in the future of decentralized AI, it's hard not to look at Tau and the BitTensor network as a very interesting product. And then if you want to go even farther down the risk spectrum, you start researching what these subnets are actually building and what they're doing. And some of them could literally trend downwards for months, but still building incredible models or doing incredible things, but they just don't have a ton of attention. And then when they get the attention, they pop off. So it's an ecosystem Joe and I have been really exploring. And I think a lot of just like crypto people have been exploring a lot now too, because it tells a really good story. The AI model makes a lot of sense for the world of crypto. And Tao's been here for a while, and these subnets, most of them are really proven projects, but you know, it doesn't always mean the price goes up. So that's where I kind of wanted to go. But there's 128 of them, and they're super interesting. It's something that if somebody's interested in AI and crypto, I highly recommend them doing some research around Tao or jump in our community. And, you know, Joe and I are researching about that literally every day, it feels like.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, and especially the price action here of 1 month. Tao is up like 69%. For the year, it's only up 50%. So there's just so much buzz about it. We've been talking about it on the show, but before that, we've been talking about it inside the community. Rohit had a great newsletter on it. And then I'm channeling my inner Brendan here on a Friday, giving you guys a little TA channel. What do you think of that, Brian? Unbelievable. In these sideways markets, I always lean on Brendan and his, you know, volume weight control and see these channels. And, you know, in a sideways market, you can see, like, I think, you know, for my 101 level of TA, it's like, there's your playground right now. We're kind of in the middle of the playground. Will the momentum continue? Will it cool off? But when that thing breaks out, or if it breaks out with the continued momentum and belief and noise this project has around it, that thing could rip for sure. So something to continue on. Any final thoughts on Tao, BitTensor, any other AI coins you guys are watching? I think the subnet was a great teaser. Make sure you subscribe. The button's right down here. I can see it on the screen right there. Boop, boop, boop. If you're new, hit it, because Brian's got a subnet tutorial that you guys are going to turn notifications on so you don't miss that. So any final thoughts on the AI stuff?
Yeah, I got a final thought. We made a call on Venice, of course, but they have a token cut.
I was going to say a comment on that too. That's a good one.
Yeah, so we caught Venice at like 70 million market cap because privacy was very popular back then. And then Venice is a privacy prompt. And they have a token called Diem. If you want to, Diem's chart looks even better, TiVo. If you want to look at Diem, D-I-E-M, that's a token by Venice. And this is a very interesting one. This is actually like, it's not a meme coin, right? It's a utility coin. It pays for compute on any platform that Venice is integrated with, and they're integrated with like Claude and OpenAI. So for every one Diem you hold, you get a dollar of credits to use on compute, and that translates to like, I don't know, $30 a month, right? So it doesn't really pay itself off until like 3 years down the road, but it's meaningful for a lot of people who do pay for compute. And the charts may go up and to the right because people are using this, right? They want to buy the token. They want to use the credits. They want to use OpenAI. They want to use Anthropic. And it's just another way for Venice to help give value back to their stakers. So if you stake Venice, you get Diem. And Venice has been really taken off alongside Diem. So, and that's just a note, because not until this month, like a lot of people, including myself, has finally allocated like a bigger budget to AI credits. Excuse me. If you're not utilizing AI credits, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But what I'm seeing now, TiVo, is that people are starting to think about that. They're like, hey, I need to start using credits, meaning to like code websites or to code an agent. And it's not top of mind for people yet. Like the average person is like, oh, let me just type in a ChatGPT, right? But it's slowly becoming a bigger mind share. Like I'm like allocating lows amount, right? Like I'm going to start doing hundreds of dollars. But if you saw the Jensen Huang All In podcast recording, he said, I get mad at my developers if they're not spending $250,000 of credits into AI. So it's really a big thing in the developer world, and slowly is going to become a really big thing for like SMB, small businesses and individuals like ourselves, and maybe even our company.
Yeah, it's coming. I can't say that I've been in the credit game other than we've talked about this on the show before, Brian, of like, you know, working with thumbnails and trying to do some of the creative stuff is a different platform, but it is credit based. And I've seen a ton of technology leaders basically saying like, hey, it's maybe we're cutting job, you know, the job force down a little bit, but basically we're still going to need top tier engineers because you need to guide and you know where to spend and use those credits. And that's kind of your junior engineer. So it's getting weird out there, but all the more reason that you need to deep dive into the research. And, you know, you guys are second to none at that. I think we'll jump on the sheet here because it's top of mind is the Brian Armstrong AI agent wanting a crypto wallet tweet.
I just thought it was funny because, you know, they're making a play on 420, but they self-proclaimed, they launched it on April 2nd, so they're calling it 402 because the protocol called 402. And I'm like, oh, you know, this is a good thing, right? Because we're changing the mind frame of what April stands for.
Yeah. That is super interesting, actually. And, you know, so AI agents, we talk about this all the time, that they can't go down the street and they can't open a bank account. They can't, you know, get a credit card. So if they want to transact in some form or fashion, if that's book your airline tickets, if that's grocery shop for you, if that's trade crypto, they need to utilize crypto or crypto wallets. So a lot of the companies now, a lot of the buzz right now has been this bridge between AI agents and crypto and open payment systems. So, you know, AI agents can have these native crypto wallets and transact online instantly without any human interaction. So this can be very, very bullish for crypto. And we've talked about this, you know, with our community. We've talked about on the rundown just how a lot of people have claimed that, like, crypto is built for agents, not humans. And that was kind of a joke. But then the more you think about it, there might be tens of thousands, millions, hundreds of thousands, millions, hundreds of millions, who knows, of crypto wallets that are generated for people's AI agents. That's a real thing. So people like Cloudflare and Stripe and Coinbase, the Linux Foundation, they're all building these unique systems for that next iteration of AI that we're all expecting to come eventually. You know, it doesn't have to be the AI robot that's a maid in your house that you're scared is going to take over and like hold you hostage. You know, there's going to be these AI agents online transacting for us, utilizing crypto and crypto wallets and transacting instantly. And that's getting a lot of talk along the timeline right now. There's a lot of interesting opportunities, the way that you could possibly invest in that, or at least just learn more about it. Because there's individuals like Brian Armstrong that are, you know, dropping major tweets out there that's bridging the world of AI agents and crypto. And this is all, this infrastructure for the agent economy is literally being developed in front of us every single day. You know, it's happening right now. And we can get some opportunities there. There's opportunities if that's in certain tokens, if that's in certain infrastructure plays, and not all of them are going to, you know, do great, but, you know, there'll always be some winners. And it makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know about you guys, but it makes a lot of sense that if you believe in AI, it feels like crypto, if that's the stable coins, if that's their own tokens, crypto wallets, that AI and AI agents will obviously work with crypto. And I think that can be another really huge growth sector for crypto overall.
Man, yeah, nothing to add. Just no, go ahead, Joe.
No, one of our calls based off of this is doing well. If you want to type in Zauth, Zauth, it's just been upward momentum. Z-A-U-T-H. We caught it on February 12th. And it's basically to verify that this is working correctly. There's a lot of money that's, believe it or not, agents sent to agents that goes to the wrong place. Anyways, we're just diving deep and giving you guys calls on this meta is what I'm saying.
No, it's a great point because everybody always says, and you get questions like, hey, the momentum moneymakers, what meme coins are hot? What NFTs, memes, is that all they do? And it's not. It's just where the momentum is. And the momentum is in these AI plays. So that kind of bleeds into what you guys are doing and clearly know what you're talking about, knowing the deep dive. So again, check it out in the comments. $1 to go and get into Brian and Joe's community. If we transition our last call for questions, you guys want to throw some questions in the chat. It's Friday. It's fun. We can wrap up with a couple of those after our quick hitters here. Transitioning into prediction markets, the Trump admin backing prediction markets. Obviously, there's tons of different lawsuits, especially from the you know, from the sports betting side of things. And it looks like the Trump administration is standing up for the prediction markets. I'm sure they are, because I'm sure there's, you know, some interesting insider plays that have made everybody a ton of money. And then Cal, that is like, you better hope they are, because Kalshi is clearing a hurdle to offer margin. So more ways to get liquidated. Always fun. Brian, I know you're excited about this. You ready to go get liquidated and count the prediction markets?
It's you know, I'm experienced, you know? I'm experienced. I know how that feels. So I'd rather it not happen. You made the joke about the Trump family and Donald Trump stand for prediction markets and kind of calling it like federally regulated, not state regulated. So trying to slap the hands of these federal laws that they're trying to impose on prediction markets. Who knows how this is all going to shake out? But it is funny because Donald Trump Jr., I know for a fact, is like partnered with Kalshi and I think Polymarket. Yeah. So they do have a vested interest for these prediction markets. And I mean, I like the prediction markets, but I just want people to know like what they're getting themselves into, and they can be, you know, highly manipulated by insiders. And I think we talked about in the last rundown, TiVo, that the CFTC is stepping in and trying to eliminate these insiders. And I'm not exactly sure what prediction markets are going to look like a year from now. But this was pretty impactful news that Trump's coming out and he's like standing up for prediction markets and telling the states to back off. This is a federally run product. So it's just an interesting thing to watch in the world of crypto, because all of these mostly run on crypto rails or offer some sort of crypto integration.
I still think we got to do a weekly prediction on here. So the next time we come on, we got something to celebrate, boys. Like, what are we doing? And then leverage it after that.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. The Friday show is like, you give out, we kind of talked about that, especially during football season. Ryan and I, that's something we should probably look into. It's a little shekel on something each week.
I don't want to rub any feathers, but I did have like a geopolitical play that I was like batting around in my head earlier today after hearing Trump's speech. You can get some interesting markets on that, but that's probably not for the audience right now. We don't have to predict on geopolitical issues. But if we get enough demand for it, maybe I'll release it one day. You know, there's one I haven't put any wages on it.
Let us know in the comments if you want the weekly Friday prediction market pick, just for fun. Off air, Brian and I, you know, I lost my shirt. I got hosed on the DealBook Summit Treasury Secretary interview because he just walked off stage like 2 minutes into his interview because he didn't like the interview questions. So I got hosed on that one. I had to step aside. I had better.
I still think you have the hottest one, though, man. I don't want to. Maybe we get a demand for you to release it next Friday. You got the hottest one.
Oh, there is. Johnny.
That's the hottest. It's the hottest.
A true friend of the show.
Yeah, and it's not insider information, but it's super interesting. Not. And he told me about it a few weeks ago. And I was like, TiVo, I'm going to find that contract and I'm going to buy the side that we talked about. And not financial advice for anyone, but it was a well thought out, felt like there was an edge there and I'm backing them. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we got to talk to lawyers or something, but not financial advice. But if you got to give the people what they want next Friday.
100%. Yeah, let us know in the comments if that's something you guys want. Some more prediction market fun. It'll be on Fridays. We can do it on the back half of the show. Let us know on Spotify, Apple comments, YouTube comments. We know. We'll check them out. Let us know. We'll just skip to the last one here since we're just on prediction markets. Let's go to the I haven't talked about it with you guys. So we talked about how Polymarket was launching this Situation Room pop-up bar. Did you guys see how a complete disaster it was?
Yes.
So funny. Brendan pointed that out to me a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to get your guys' take. I think it's so sad because it's such a cool idea, and then they tried to rush it, do it too quick. They did a pop-up. They clearly weren't ready. They had no structure of what it actually was going to be. It was just like a little meet and greet with a blow-up globe. I was kind of disappointed for, you know, a company that has billions of dollars in valuation and investment to roll that out, because – We love the prediction markets, and the idea of this was so cool, but tough execution on the first one. What are your guys' takes?
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought it was going to be great. Like, they did free groceries, right? They were doing, and I was like, oh, they're going to pour a lot of money. They're worth, you know, billions of dollars. But it was just because people in our amongst our friends, right? Our colleagues were like, hey, even before this is an idea, we were like, we wanted this to happen. So we were rooting for it to happen. And I wanted that proof of concept to come over here because I'll be the first one there at the bar. But yeah, it wasn't great. It was raining and the TVs weren't working. I was just disappointed.
The blackout was a huge disappointment, but I want to go here so bad. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons. I've been to Washington, D.C. a lot of times in my life, and it's a great city. But this is like destination number one. I'm like trying to draft up like a family vacation to take an educational trip for my kids now. Because I just want to, like, you know, peel off to the Situation Room for a couple hours.
Yeah. The boys on a Friday afternoon at the Situation Room getting rowdy. All right, let's wrap up the show. We had a couple questions, some picks. So again, nothing we could give here is financial advice. Just we want to appreciate everybody who is joining us on the live today. So let's go. We had somebody said Algorand. Any news on Algorand? We'll pull it up and look at the chart for you, but not something I've been tracking. Any of you guys?
No, we noticed it though.
Yeah, I know it has like that's an AI play, right? That's another AI play, Algorand.
Not something I've covered personally.
No, I'm not too deep into it, but I'm going to look into it. I know the token's algo. Yeah, we saw it running. I remember, Joe, we talked about this for a while. Wait, no, it's a blockchain. It's a blockchain. Algorand's a blockchain.
Yeah,
it's an L1 blockchain. But I'm not exactly sure what it does or why we saw this recent pump. So would love to know if anybody, whoever asked that, if they know the insider on it, would love to know a little bit about it.
Yeah, Eyeball 509. What do you know about Algorand? You're bringing it up. Great call. Yeah, something we saw, yeah. You know, price action wise, but not wasn't on our radar of what we're specifically covering inside the community. So let us know what you know. CJE's in the chat. You love to see that. What do you think of VDOR? Has anybody even heard of VDOR? It sounds like a low cap to me. But let's pull it up. Can't even find. No, is this it? VDOR? Very, very low. Vanguard Digital Oil Reserve.
Yeah, I was gonna say sounds like a Vanguard thing.
Vanguard Digital Oil Reserve. I mean, I have no idea what that does. I said on the program, I'm as a fun one with Brian, I shorted oil and I've traded in and out of that position because it's been so volatile. I'm currently out of it. It like right when I said it, I went up 20% on it, sold it, got out at like 10. Bought back in, then lost 10. So I've just been trading the volatility. Haven't, you know, made anything great about it. I was thinking about getting back in after the speech because it shot up again. But currently no open plays on oil for me. And that was about a wash. I did it 2 times. Tried to get it. Nothing too great. But any thoughts? I guess that's an oil question. And then last one. Oh, Eyeball. No, it's not a repeat. Last one from Phil. He's nearing retirement. Any tips on a best place for a novice to learn crypto trading? Absolutely, Phil. You're in the right place. So the first thing you're going to do is on the bottom right of your screen right here, you're going to subscribe, and then you're going to scroll down if you want more and check out our links. I think maybe like, you know, maybe our free book might be a great place for you to start. So if you scroll down in the description, we have a free book. Click that link. Get your free book. Start there. Listen to the podcast, and then we will, you know, you'll be with us and be a part of our community. It's going to be great. That's going to be all for today. Any final thoughts, fellas, as we head into the weekend?
No, final thoughts here other than, you know, it's kind of just, hope everyone has a happy Easter if you're celebrating it. If you see any kids out there with some Easter egg hunts, I wouldn't even ask. I'd just start taking them. It's, cause we need as much dry powder as we can to dive into some of these subnets and, turn their lives around.
Ain't that a fact? All right, March Madness, who you guys got? I picked Arizona in my bracket, but the rest of the bracket was awful. Anybody else got any picks?
I'm on Arizona, but all my brackets are busted. I think the work one, I saw a lot of us were on Arizona, and I was like, oh, that wasn't very contrarian at all. But I got crushed. I was a big Iowa State guy, you know? Can't name one player on their team, but was really liking them.
I was waiting for tips from you guys to place a prediction bet.
Yeah, I'm not a basketball guy. Never claimed to be a basketball guy. People forget that. We really appreciate everybody coming on. Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend. Again, any questions, comments, toss them in there. Our whole entire team. We can't do this without you guys. Super appreciative of everybody who listens on the audio. Super appreciative for everybody on the live. Please enjoy your weekend. Happy Easter to those who celebrate, and we'll talk to you later. Bye, everybody.